Isn't God good? Well, this morning what I want to do is we're in week three. Let me get all caught up here, make sure I'm on the go here and I'm ready to roll. We're in week three of this new collection of talks, and the new collection we're calling is this Pursuit of Happiness. Maybe you came in here today and you're the guy in the red with the red face and you're not real happy right now. Our goal is through this series is to kind of take you on this journey, this pursuit of happiness, so that you can actually walk out of here with a smile on your face. How many people want to walk out of life or walk out of church, walk through life with a smile on your face? So everybody, let's see those pearly whites and everybody give me your best smile. Everybody smile. You guys look great. Okay, I saw a couple people refusing to participate. I'll talk to you after the service and say, what's the problem, okay? So smile, everyone. So anyway, what we're doing in this series is we're looking at a commonly referred to passage of Scripture that's called the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. So if you have your Bibles today, let's go to, there's one right in front of you. If you have an electronic Bible, that's fine. Let's open up to Matthew chapter 5. And actually, our text begins in verse 3. And today, actually, our highlighted verse is going to be verse 5. So what are these Beatitudes? The Beatitudes is basically eight statements. I actually want to call them eight attitudes that were spoken by Jesus. So these aren't my thoughts. These came from the mouth of Jesus Christ. And look at verse 2 if you have your Bible open real quick. Look at verse 2. Who are these thoughts directed to? They're directed towards the disciples of Christ. Okay? So he's directing these thoughts towards the disciples. And what he's doing is he's describing people who are truly, truly blessed. And what I've discovered by looking at these Beatitudes, and as you're discovering in our journey, is these statements really totally contradict what the world considers to be a person that's blessed. See, the world says this is what a blessed person looks like, and yada, yada, ABC, 1, 2, 3, this is what a blessed person looks like. Then Jesus comes, and he kind of rocks the world. And he kind of does these totally different statements that contradict what the world says and said, no, this is what a blessed person looks like, okay? So as I was thinking about it this week for my personal life, I need to be careful that I'm not looking towards the world's definition of blessing. I need to make sure I'm looking towards what Jesus says a blessed life looks like, because they're going to contradict each other, okay? Does everybody understand that? So I don't think I'm the only one. We got to be careful. Who is defining? Whose paper are you reading out of? The world's paper or God's paper, the Bible, okay? So let's make sure we're adopting the right things. So what does it mean to be blessed? Well, the word blessed that's used in each one of these eight Beatitudes is simply, at the simplest definition, it's really very simple, very basic, and the word is happiness. I forgot to put it in my PowerPoint slide. So everybody together on three say happiness. That's as simple. I mean, you could add a few other things to it, but when it comes to it at the end of the day, and I did my homework, I did my study, the Greek really comes down to this word simply means at the end of the day, being happy. So to me, could that mean that the happiness that we're searching for day in and day out is not going to be found in circumstances? Because we've talked about this, circumstances come and go, circumstances change. How many people have discovered that on your journey of life? Some things are working well one day, and you're happy, 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 and then the next day something happens and changes, and you're kind of like, oh my goodness, what happened? And you're not so happy. So what happens is our life begins to look like a roller coaster ride. And I don't think God wants us to live on a roller coaster. I think God wants us to be able to, no matter what's going on in life, if you're on top of the mountain, your kids are behaving, the bank account says, man, all is well, or there's other days when your kids are misbehaving and your bank account and things don't look so well. How many people know we shouldn't live according to all those things? We need to be happy because we're basing our faith in Christ, okay, in the person of Jesus Christ. So here's what we're going to do today. Look down with me if you have your Bible open. We're looking at Matthew chapter 5. And today we're on the third Beatitude, and we're going to look at verse 5. Verse 5 is an awesome, awesome verse. So let's take a look at it. I'll read it, then we'll read it together. Jesus speaking, not Mike speaking. This isn't my idea. I didn't create this week to say I'm going to show these people. No, this is Jesus speaking to disciples. He says these words, blessed, happy are the meek, for for they will inherit the earth. So can we all read that together? Everybody with your strongest Packer Viking voice, everybody together with some excitement and enthusiasm, let's read the words of Jesus together, everyone together. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Okay. If we're not careful, this beatitude can become a little puzzling. Okay, come on, blessed are the meek. And we can kind of get a little confused. We can be a little puzzled here. And here's the reason why, and that is because we have a misunderstanding of what this word meek really means. For many people in our world today, meek equals, does anyone want to take a step of faith here? Meek equals what? Weak. You guys are sharp. Let's give them a hand this morning. These people are engaged. In our world today, when it says blessed are the meek, we say, no, that's not going to work because we think that meek equals weak. So we think that Jesus is calling us on this journey to be a bunch of weaklings. Or we think that this word meek means maybe things like wimp. I love that picture. I hope you're impressed. It takes me time to find these appropriate photos. Okay? And but a lot of times when we think of meek, we think of somebody that's, they're a geek. I like this one the best. This was my favorite one. I can't believe I actually found it. A lot of times when we think of meek, we think of a doormat. We think that if we're going to be meek, that people are going to do what? They're going to walk all over us. So who wants to be meek? Who wants to be a geek? Who wants to be some? I want to be a geek, by the way. But anyway, who wants to be somebody that just gets walked over? Who wants to be somebody who's weak, okay? But what we need to understand is when Jesus uses the word meek, we need to erase this all these thoughts. We need to erase weakness. We need to erase geek. We need to erase doormat. And what we need to do is we need to get a proper understanding of what it means to be meek. Okay? And the proper understanding in biblical language of what it means to be weak is three words. And the three words are really quite simple. The three words for meekness, everybody say these three words together, power in control. That's what meekness means. It means you have power, but it's in control. So power in control. And I think a beautiful example of this would be this, a wild stallion. We got this wild stallion that's out there running the range, out there in the wilderness, out there on their own, running in packs. How many people would agree that this wild stallion absolutely has power? True or false? That stallion has power, but here's the problem with the power of a wild stallion. The power of a wild stallion is this. It's out of control. It has amazing power, and as a result, but it's out of control, and as a result, it's useful to no one. Basically, that stallion's doing whatever it wants to do, running the range, going crazy, whatever they do out there. So all power, but there's zero control and zero help of anyone else. But here's the deal. This is what meekness looks like. Meekness looks like a stallion that's been broken. So let me ask you a question. Does that stallion still have power? And everybody said, yes. Some of you are like, what's the answer? That, they gave the right answer, okay? Does that stallion have power? Everybody said, yes. But here's the difference. Now that power is what? It's been brought under control. And now as a result, that power is beneficial for others. And that's really what I want us to see today is that we can have power that's out of control, or we can have power that's been brought into control. And when power is brought into control, it's helpful for other people, not just for the individual. And that's what I want us to see. And I think this may surprise you, but one day Jesus was speaking, and we see it in Matthew 11:29. Jesus was speaking, and he began to describe himself. And I want us to look at one of the words that Jesus was using to describe himself in Matthew 11:29. Jesus said, these are the words of Christ. He said, take my yoke upon you. And check these words out, learn of me. So Jesus is in, learn something here. Learn something about me. And let's all read this together. For I am meek and lowly at heart. So I love it that Jesus, when he describes himself, he describes himself as meek. He's describing himself as someone who has power. Because if you know the totality of Scripture and you go to Matthew chapter 28, Jesus tells his disciples something that we all need to understand. And Jesus tells his disciples, guys, guess what? God gave me all power. God gave me all authority. And we need to understand that Jesus Christ didn't come weak. He came and he was given all power and authority by his Father in heaven. But here's the thing about the power of Jesus Christ. He didn't use it for himself. He used it for who? For us, for other people. And that's the way Jesus described himself, okay? So I want us to see that. So this may surprise you, but Jesus uses this to describe himself. So here's the question of the morning. Which is one of the ways that Jesus, how did Jesus, as he walked the earth, I love it. Jesus walks the earth for what, about 33 years. He's the fully God, fully man. He's meek. But how did he express his meekness? Well, there's a great verse that tells us one of the ways that Jesus expressed his meekness. It's in verse Matthew 20:28. A lot of Matthew today, which is great. I want you to read this. This is how Jesus expressed his meekness as he walked the earth. Jesus says, for even the Son of Man, and I want to let you know that's a reference to himself. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served. I want everybody to get that. Jesus said, I didn't come to this planet to be served. The one who was given all authority, the one who had all power, says, I want to clarify this, guys. I didn't come to be served, but look at what he says here. But I came to serve others. And I came to give my life as a ransom for many. So here we see that Jesus expresses his meekness how? He expresses his meekness by letting it be known that he didn't come to be served and see how many followers he could gather around him. But the reason why Jesus came was to serve other people. So he had authority, he had power, but he wasn't using it on himself. He was using it for the sake of other people. And here's what I find so amazing is that Jesus would use his power for others. So I want you to listen in for the next few minutes because this is where it's going to be really, really good. Is everybody ready for it to get really good? Say yes, bring it. I don't think you're convinced yet. Say yes, bring it. Because I'm going to tell you something about yourself. And this is something you may not know. This is something you may not believe, but it's something that's true of every single body that's sitting here this morning. I want everybody to hear this crystal clear. Every person around here in this room today has power. Yes, there's different degrees of power. There's some people, you might on a scale of 1 to 10, your power might be a 3 or 4, but there's people in here that you have a lot of, everybody has power. So I just want to set the record straight. So look at your neighbor and say, yo, I have power. Now look at your second choice next to you and say, yo, I got power. Poor Nick's up here all by himself. So Nick, I got power, okay? Got it. So I want to let you know we all have power. Let me clarify so we're reading off the same page. What do I mean when I say we have power? I want you to get this, so please stay focused. When I say that you have power, I'm saying this. Every person in here has influence. Everyone in here has influence. Yay or nay? Everybody say yay. Every person has influence. You have a position that you hold. You have a title. Somebody's giving you a title. Every person has a platform. So I want to make it clear that every person here today, you say, well, all I am is a stay-at-home mother. I want to let you know, stay-at-home mother, you got amazing power. You know what I'm talking about. You say, well, all I am is a school teacher. Are you kidding me? School teacher, you have amazing power. You say, well, all I am is a coach. Are you kidding me? Every single coach has power. So whatever it is I am, you fill in the blank, I want to let you know that you exert power. You have influence. You've been given a position, a title, a platform. And here's the thing about your power. You can use that power one of two ways. Let's look at it. Two ways that you can use your power. Number one, you can use your power for yourself. Yourself. What do I mean by that? You can use the power, the influence, the platform that God has given you. You could use it for this purpose of building your own image. You can use your power to get your own way, to manipulate, This is my agenda. I want my own way. You can use your power to fulfill your personal agenda. You could use your power to win. I'm going to win at all costs. I'm going to use my power so that I win. And really what I call that is I call that self-centered power. All your power that God has given you, and I believe the power is given to us by God. Influence is given to us by God. These platforms, these titles, these positions given to us by God. You can use it for yourself. And all it is about self-promoting your, it's all about self-promoting. Look at me, look at me, look at me. But there's a second way that you can use your power. And the second way you can use your power, and everybody read this together, for other people. You can use your power for other people, meaning that you use whatever power you have to serve people. You can use power to build other people up. You can use your power so that the other person wins. You can use your power so that the other person can achieve their goals and their dreams. Every one of us has power. Is that clear this morning? And you can use your power for you, or you can use your power for other people. I want you to think about that. It's very important. How are you going to use what God has given? Is it going to be me, 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 me? Is there going to be about others? So let me ask the question, and I think you know the answer to the question already. How did Jesus use his power? Does anybody want to step out? How did he use his power? Well, let's look back to verse 28. It says that Jesus used his power to do what? To serve other people. So here you have is the guy that had all authority, all power given to him by the Father, and Jesus makes a choice that it's not going to be about me using my power on myself, but I'm going to use my power to serve other people, not to be served. And you say, well, how did Jesus do this? Well, look at the rest of the text. It says that he gave his life, what? As a ransom for many. By the way, do you know what that word ransom means? It's very important that we know that it means that it's a payment demanded or paid for the release of a prisoner. So we have a prisoner, and basically the only way that that prisoner can be set free is if somebody comes along and does what? They pay a ransom. So they open up their wallet, they pay the price, and they pay the price that's been requested, and as a result, through their payment, the prisoner can go free. Listen very carefully today. That's what Jesus did for each and every one of us. You said, I've never been a prisoner. Well, I want to let you know the scriptures tells you different. How many people know we've all been spiritual prisoners? It's called sin. We're all prisoners to sin. And that's what Jesus did when he came to earth to serve, is he gave his life as a ransom. So here you are, you're a prisoner of sin. And Jesus came and he paid the price. How did he do it? By giving his life, by pouring out his blood. That was the payment that releases us. He paid the ransom for our sins. Can somebody say, thank you, Jesus? Can anybody else say, thank you, Jesus? Like, woo! Because I want to let you know, Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves. So that's how Jesus comes along and he expresses his meekness. He says, I came not to use my power for me. I came to use my power for others. And I'm going to do this by giving my life as a ransom. I'm going to pay the price. So let me ask you the question. This is where we're going to get into personal application. Because this word, meekness, is for you. How can you and I express meekness? How can you and I express meekness in our daily life? We can express meekness by following the example of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, yay. We're excited about following the example of Christ and that we're going to do that by serving other people. We follow the example. That's what Christ followers do. They follow the example of Jesus. And what we're going to do is we're going to begin to live our life meek. We have power, but we're going to use our power for others, not for ourselves. And we're going to use that power and we're going to follow the example of others and we're going to step out of what the world teaches. Because here's what the world promotes. The world promotes individualism. The world says this. Let's look at some things about individualism. Individualism is this cognitive framework that sees only the individual at the center of everything. So the world says, hey, yo, I'm at the center. You're at the center. Not other people, but you live your life at the center. That's individualism. Individualism is where decisions are made to serve our individual needs. That's individualism. Individualism, by the way, is where dreams and aspirations to get ahead are nurtured. Individualism is where the individual needs are primary. And I want to let you know, individualism takes no effort at all. You don't have to try. Has anybody discovered that? You don't have to try. It just happens. It comes with our nature that we've been given. So look at these definitions of individualism. And what I want to say here, listen very carefully. In this beatitude, Jesus is making it clear that this isn't the way to happiness. The world has tricked us to think that's how you get happy. Put the individual at the center. Put me in the center. It's all about me, myself, and I. Put yourself in the center. Elevate yourself. Look after your needs. Nurture your dreams. Nurture your aspirations. Make yourself at the center. And the world says, if you do that, you're going to be happy. Then Jesus comes along and says, no. I made you. And I made you to the degree that I know what's going to work in your life. And here's what's going to work in your life. And this is what works when you take your power and you use it not for the individual, but you use it for others. Is everybody catching me this morning? When you use this for other people, when you make serving people a priority, when you make serving people a lifestyle, that's who you become, you're becoming more like Christ. Because here's the promise, if you live this way, Jesus says these words, remember back to the beginning, blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. Has anybody ever received an inheritance? We're all looking around like, yeah, who do we go talk to after service today? This is going to be good. I received an inheritance once in my life. It was about 15 years ago. The mailman came knocking at our door. I was home alone. Heather was at work. The boys were at school. And the mailman had a special piece of mail that I had to sign. And here's what happened. I had an aunt in Florida that I never met. I never met her. And she had a very wealthy husband who had died years before. Well, this aunt of mine had passed away. So what happened is the mailman said, you need to sign for this. And I found out that I was like one of like 12 different people that were signing on the same day. And this aunt that I've never met left us a really nice... I mean, it wasn't going to change my life. Obviously, I'm still here. And what I mean by that is I still have to work. Is everybody hearing me? It has zero to do with you. I'm just saying I still have to work, okay? By the way, it was gone that year, okay? So that tells you about the sum of it. But here's the deal. I received an inheritance. But when I look at the word inheritance, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is you're going to receive something. The bad news is in order for you to receive something, somebody's got to die. Are you hearing me today? Is anybody a little ahead of me yet? Is anybody ahead of me? You're getting this. Here's what I want to say. You have an inheritance, but somebody's got to die. And the somebody that's got to die is me, is you, all of us. And I'm not talking physical death. I'm talking about we got to die to our individualism. We got to die to our agenda. We got to die to putting ourselves first. We got to die to elevating ourselves. And Jesus says, hey, I have an inheritance. And this inheritance is beyond your imagination. But the inheritance is somebody's got to die, and the person that's got to die is each and every disciple has to die to self in order to receive the blessing that I have for them. Isn't that good? And I just want to tell us today, there's a great blessing that God has for every one of us. But in order to receive this great blessing, this happiness, something's got to happen. You got to die to your will. You got to die to putting yourself at the center of everything you do in your life. And what you got to do is take the power that God has given you, the influence that God has given you, the platform that God has given you, the title that God has given you. And now you got to begin to say, God, you never gave this to me for me. You really gave this to me for other people. And when we begin to live for other people, guess what? There's this inheritance that we receive that's beyond price. It's beyond measure. It's priceless. So here's my thought this morning. Imagine with me what every marriage in this room would look like if each one involved used their power to help the other one to win? What if myself as a husband would use the power that God gave me to help Heather win? What if that became my primary agenda instead of saying, Heather, what did God give you for me? And I've done that. I'm not the only guilty person in this room. But what would it be like if I begin to say, Heather, you put your spouse's name there, and I'm going to begin to use the power that God has given me to say, Heather, I want you to win. I want to fulfill your dreams. I want to help you with your goals. What would happen if in every family, if in every single family in our church, especially us as parents, would begin to use our power, begin to use our influence for our kids? What would it look like if we would say, hey, all those things that God has given us as parents, we're going to use them to help our kids grow, to help our kids win, to help them to show them Jesus, to help them to fulfill their dreams and aspirations and goals? What would happen if we used our power? Because there are selfish parents, because I've been a selfish parent, and I've used too many hours where I've neglected my kids to go after some of my dreams. And I've done it with my wife. And one of the things God's been laying on my heart is, Mike, I gave you things, not for you. I gave you influence to bless them. What would it look like if every teacher stepped into their classroom tomorrow with a new thought process? That, God, you gave me influence. You gave me abilities. And it's not for me just to collect a paycheck. It's not just for me to be elevated, but it's for each one of these kids that's sitting in this class. What would it look like if we went to work meek and we took our power and used it for somebody else's benefit? What would it look like, all you people who go to work every day? Some of us are bosses. You have amazing influence. What would it be like if you followed the example of Jesus and said the real road to happiness isn't that you elevate yourself and you get promoted again and you get another, and all those things are great. But they need to be used in the context that first and primary, that I'm there for others first. What would the atmosphere, the culture of your workplace begin to look like if there were bosses that said, hey, I'm looking out for this guy. I'm looking out for the one who's just working at minimum wage. What would it look like for all of us as coaches, not me, but you as a coach? What would it look like if you went to practice every day? If you went to a game every week, and it wasn't just about you being noticed and all about your name being exalted, but what would it be like that if you were truly there for the kids? You were truly there for the kids to win, and not just on the scoreboard, but to win in life. What would it look like if we begin to live our lives as Jesus said, blessed are the meek? You think, well, it's all becoming about others, and well, I wouldn't be happy. I'm here to tell you the exact opposite. Jesus created you. He knows how your life works. And he realizes the ultimate path to happiness is when you begin to use what God gave you for other people. And when you begin to use it for other people, there's a happiness that's not based upon circumstances. It's a happiness that you can take. So I want to challenge you with this closing question this week. What can you do this week? What can you do maybe even today, this week, to say, you know what? God, I'm going to use what you gave me for others. I'm going to help somebody else win. I'm going to put somebody else first. What would it look like? What can you do this week to say it's going to be about somebody else? And Jesus says, blessed are the meek. They're going to inherit the earth. And really that word earth is not the earth that we know today. It's the kingdom. Blessed are the meek. They'll inherit the kingdom of God. So I want to challenge you this week not to only be a hearer of God's word, but as we leave today, I want you to be a doer of God's word. And I want to challenge you this week, be intentional about thinking. Lord, you might even want to include this in prayer. What can I do? What can I do to make somebody else win? What can I do to make somebody else help them accomplish their goals, their dreams? I mean, let's be real. Don't you want a pastor that's like this? And everybody said, what if it was just about me saying, I want to, you guys are a stepping stone. I just want to use you. Wouldn't that be horrendous? Yet the same is true of all of us. because we all have power, influence, giftings, platforms. And I want to encourage you today. I want to challenge you. I want to double dog dare you to use what God has given, not for you, but for other people. Amen? Amen. So, Lord, we close in prayer today, and we pray, God, that we would not just learn about being meek, but we would become meek. And we're not talking about weak. We're not talking about being a doormat where people walk over us. But we're talking about we have power, and we're going to use that power in control. We're going to use that power to serve, to elevate other people. And Jesus, we thank you that you did that for us, that you used your God-given power to go to a cross and to die for our sins so that you could pay the ransom for us to be released from prison. And Jesus, we just applaud you today for that. Can we do that today? Just applaud Jesus for that today. Now, Lord, just help us to live your example this week and begin to have eyes to see where we can apply this to our lives. Raise up coaches, teachers, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, bosses who are meek and using their power to help everybody else along. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.